It's time for Comment Please by Univest. Marking 50 years of serving Montgomery and Bucks counties. Cited by the Associated Press, Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters, Society of Professional Journalists, and the Philadelphia Press Association for excellence in broadcasting. Here's the host of Comment Please by Univest, Daryl Berger.
Good afternoon and welcome to this month's transportation edition of Comment Please by Univest. If you've tuned in for Daryl Berger, have no fear, he'll return tomorrow. But I'm Peggy Schmidt, the Executive Director for the Partnership Transportation Management Association of Montgomery County, and I'm going to be your host today. So I hope you keep that dial where it is because we have some very interesting things to tell you about and we want you to keep on listening. If you'd like to join us today, our numbers are 215-855-8211 or 215-723-2116. Well, if you are like me, I am sick of this weather. And I know, you know, my first intro is supposed to be, oh, spring is coming, and really it is, and it's going to be here next week. And oh my goodness, I cannot wait. I can't take it anymore. But I want to put you in that spring mode. I want you to start thinking about spring outdoor activities and things we're going to be doing. And I have something for you to put on your calendar. And that is Pedaling on the Parkway. April 26th at 9 a.m. will be our second annual community bike ride. And this year we selected the Route 202 Parkway Trail as our ride location. Our riders will be meeting at the Park and Ride at Route 309 and 202, and you can ride either 6 miles or 15 miles. That's round trip, so 3 miles up, 3 miles back, or that 15 miles. You'll be doing it on the trail, so you really don't have to worry about the cars. It's a beautiful ride. Hopefully you'll be able to enjoy the scenery without any snow. And to kind of give you an idea, I'm a lot better at kind of knowing if you say 6 miles, I like to think to myself, how long is it going to take me to do that? Well, the 6 mile ride will take an average rider on a mountain bike about 30 minutes to complete. Now, if you're riding with your children, and we hope you do, we actually have added a family package this year. If you're going to ride with your children, it'll probably take you a little bit longer, so we'll say 45 minutes. Now, I will tell you the route is a little bit hilly. There are a couple of areas that are a little bit challenging, but it's still a beautiful ride. Just remember, you go up those hills on the way, you're going to come back down, so you'll move really quickly. So a little time, certain areas will take a little longer. If you're a more experienced rider or you really want to challenge yourself, the 15-mile route will take you approximately 1 hour and 20 minutes. Now, what we did, as we did last year, we developed the ride for families or for individuals that really want to enjoy the trail. Last time we did the Powerline Trail, and this time the Route 202 Trail. And all of the proceeds go to our bike share programs and our pedestrian safety programs. We have 3 bike share programs this year. We'd love to expand it and have 2 more. We have actually a waiting list of areas and partners that want to join us with the bike share program. And the other thing I really want to emphasize is that this is a ride. It's not a race. So you don't have to hurry up and just, you know, ride as fast as you can. You can kind of go and, you know, take your time and enjoy. We're going to let those people that are doing the 15-mile ride go first so they have a little bit extra time to go out and to enjoy themselves. But it really is a time for you to just kind of get out and enjoy it and hope, again, that the weather will be nice. Last year, if you participated in the Powerline Trail ride, when people came back, it was actually snowing. And believe me, if it's snowing on April 26th, I think I am going to cry. So hopefully we're going to have beautiful weather. Now you may be thinking, okay, I've got my bike, I'm kind of interested in this, do I need any other special equipment for the ride? Well, all of our riders have to wear a helmet. You must wear a helmet, and you're required to sign the waiver form on the registration form. Of course, we need to always have that whenever you do anything. For parents, you must fill out a registration form for your children and, of course, sign the waiver. That ride's going to take place rain or shine. We have a lot of activities planned for people when you're coming in. We'll have free bike checks to make sure your bike is not nice and safe. And we're also hopefully working with the county health department to get you some information on bike safety as well. Now, if you don't ride your bike, or you don't want to ride the 6 or 15 miles, but you still want to help out promoting our bike safety programs and our pedestrian safety programs, there's plenty of things for you to do. You can assist us in traffic control. Now, we're fortunate all the crossings with the roads are, they have the signals, but we do have to have somebody out there and make sure you're okay. You can help us distribute our materials. Of course, we're going to have water that we'll give out the riders. You can always donate your registration fee and say, you know what, I don't want to ride, but here's my money for that. Or you can sponsor a rider, or you can contribute something in kind. We've had several companies give us some in-kind contributions last year. But we need everyone's help to make the ride a success. Now, as we said last year, our ride was a success despite the snow coming down, but we're hoping this year that it's going to be nice and it's going to be even better. For information on the ride, how to sponsor it or sign up, you can go to our website. You actually this year can register for the ride on the web. We're through Eventbrite. And, of course, you can call the TMA office at 215-699-2733. Now, you may have noticed in the beginning that I mentioned that every rider in our community bike ride needs a helmet. And if you do, and you're out and about, and you're going to be riding your bike this year, you need to wear a helmet. My big thing is that, you know, people are going out. We're increasing biking in the area. That's fantastic. But unfortunately, no one's wearing a helmet. On Tuesday, I was at a meeting for the Greater North Penn Regional Collaborative. And, of course, I talk about pedaling on the parkway, and then I'm kind of talking about bike helmet safety, as I always go out and do now. Following me, there were 8 individuals that talked about accidents that they knew about where someone didn't wear a helmet and had some serious injury. So it's really important to consider. I mean, people really think, yeah, I'm going to be okay, or I'm just riding my bike down the trail. I'm going to just ride here. I'm not going to have any problem. And it is. In fact, our safety alert this month, and you can call the office and we're happy to send you a copy of that, talked about concussions. What can happen, how you can prevent a concussion. We're kind of piggybacking on the NFL here. What are the symptoms of a concussion, so that you get an idea that this is definitely a serious, serious topic. So throughout the year, and you're going to hear me probably every month talk about bike helmets and wearing your helmet, but if you don't have one, the TMA has been able to work with an organization that was able to provide us with wonderful helmets. They're very stylish, they're very attractive, and they're very inexpensive. It's half the cost of what you normally would pay for if you even went to a big box store. And the proceeds, again, go to our bike share programs. We've got helmets in different colors and different styles. We can measure your head at the office. We've got all these things available for you. If you'd like to purchase one, you're happy to come down to the office, which is at 134 North Main Street in North Wales. We always tell you to call first just in case we're out doing the radio show or at a travel training event or a bike share event, but give us a call. We're also happy to come down to a business, bring our bike helmets with us, and fit people right there on the spot. So we're happy to go out and do that. Well, that's my big thing. Hopefully that weather's going to get better. And when that weather gets better, your teenager might be really anxious to get out there on the road and learn how to drive, or they might have just gotten their license. And since the roads are starting to clear up, we don't have the snow or the ice on the roadways, except we've got some ice out there today, unfortunately. But those students want to get out there and experience the open road. So joining us today is a returning friend of our show, Mike Mercadante from Driver Training Services of North Wales. Mike always has some great tips and advice on working with the teenage driver. And later on in the program, we're also going to talk a little bit about the adult driver, what you might remember and what you may not remember. So he's here to help us out again with a lot of great advice. So welcome, Mike.
Welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Now, if someone hasn't heard you on the program before, can you give them a brief overview of the business and what the mission is and just a little bit about Driver Training Services?
Sure, absolutely. Driver Training Services has been in business since 96. We're a AAA-approved driving school and an official training center of the National Safety Council. And our mission really is to help all drivers throughout the lifespan become better at what they do, safer, and survive on the streets. We focus more on survival skills than we do actually just getting them kids through the test. But we work with everybody from age 15 through about 85.
All right, so survivor skills. So for our parents out there, let's talk about some basic advice if they're going to teach their children how to drive.
Okay. So the first thing that's the most important is stay calm. There's an interesting dichotomy, and I see it almost in every family. But teenagers perform much better behind the wheel when they're relaxed and calm. And I've noticed that, you know, moms especially, if they're in the seat, tend to have a little anxiety. And, you know, that's completely normal because they're letting their own kid drive a car in traffic. As soon as the kid senses this anxiety, their performance starts to go down because they're anxious. So the best thing a parent can do is stay very calm, very reassuring, and just keep that kid relaxed. The more relaxed the student is, the better off the drive is going to become.
So we want to pick the calmer parent maybe to do the instruction.
In some ways. I said moms tend to be a little more anxious. Dads, as a general kind of thing, tend to be a little too lax. And I've seen a lot of dads who will just take the kid out on the freeway in the first hour or two that they're driving and say, oh, you'll do fine. And that's a little too laid back. We want to get somewhere right in the middle. So you've got control of the car. You're addressing the student's needs, you know, as far as learning, but you're doing it in an appropriate manner, you know, keeping the kid where their skill level is appropriate.
Now, is it appropriate or what's better, to go out in a marathon session? So let's say this afternoon I'm going to take you out there at noon and we're going to, you know, stay on the road until you learn how to drive. Or is it better to do it in short increments?
I read something not too long ago that the average teenager's attention span is now shorter than the average goldfish. That's going to mean that that marathon session is not going to work out well. The farther you push them, the less they're going to really get out of the experience. I usually train in a two-hour block, and we take a break at the hour mark. Get them out of the car, walking around, like, you know, go get yourself something to drink or something like that. We're taking 5 minutes out of the car. And we'll sit and chat about what we've done so far and what we're going to do next and things like that. But they're off the road. They're out of the car. And then we do the second hour. So, and then at that point, they're done. You know, that's a really intense workout, and just take a break. You're done for the day. You know, go out with mom tomorrow, do half an hour, something like that. But nothing too strenuous. An hour at a time is probably max.
Now, since I know a lot of the schools don't have driver's ed anymore, is something that the parents should talk about, you know, the things that are, you know, the car, the wipers are here, the, you know, lights are here, kind of an introductory session to the car before they actually kind of start the driving? Or I remember a friend was teaching her niece to drive, and she just said, okay, get behind the wheel and go. What technique works better?
It depends on the kid. It's interesting because driver ed has changed a lot in the last decade even. And we're forced to change our methodology because of the changes in technology. If you think back to the average car in the 1960s, you had to do everything yourself. You know, manual transmission, manual brakes, manual steering, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And so learning how to drive a car was very much a physical task. Now, most of these kids don't even know how to roll up a window. Most of them don't even know what a key is because a lot of their cars are push button. The car does most of it for you. So driving now is very much a cognitive task. And we focus mostly on cognitive training, getting them to think about driving in a certain way. And the actual physical act, give me an hour and a half, I could teach your dog to drive across a parking lot and park the car. It's not that hard. But it's the cognitive stuff that, you know, will keep them alive for the duration.
All right, I may take you up on that doggy thing. We're going to take a short break. If you'd like to join us today, our numbers are 215-855-8211 or 215-723-2116.
I love my parents, and now that they're older, I worry about them living by themselves and getting them the best care. But with college tuition, weddings coming up, and preparing for our own retirement, I think I need somebody to take care of me.
Hi, this is Ken Hosteller, President of Wealth and Retirement Solutions at Univest. No matter what decisions you're facing, our trusted financial advisors will provide the expertise and support you need for whatever life sends your way. Life's a journey. Live it well. Choose Univest.
Univest Investments, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Come take a break from winter as spring blooms early at Peter Becker Community's 31st Annual Flower Show. Today through Saturday, this year's theme, Cirque de Bloom, will feature beautiful flowers and whimsical exhibits of circus flair, a scavenger hunt, craft and vendor displays, great food, prizes, and interactive seminars make this annual event a must-see for all. The Flower Show opens today and tomorrow from 10 till 6. A pancake breakfast with Fuzzy the Clown starts at 8 a.m. on Saturday, with the exhibit open from 9 till 4. Peter Becker Community is located at 800 Maple Avenue in Harleysville. For directions or more information, please call Peter Becker Community at 215-256-9501 or visit us online at peterbeckercommunity.com. Donations of food items at the show will help support Keystone Opportunity Center Food Pantry and Shepherd Shelf Food Pantry.
Our new culinary specialist, Eric Villegas, will prepare a variety of delicious recipes on stage at WNPB's 30th Annual Taste of Home Cooking School on Wednesday, March 19th at North Penn High School, Valley Forge Road, Route 363 in Lansdale. Doors will open at 5 p.m. so you can visit our vendor area with displays by Mary Mead Farm, Kitchen Saver, Five Star Home Foods, Henning's Markets, West Main Diner, Health Source of North Penn, Chicken Soup for the Soul, and more. Plus, there'll be goodie bags and door prizes. Cadet Girl Scout Troop 7193 will be collecting non-perishable foods like rice and canned fruit for Manna on Main Street. Tickets can be picked up at the station, 1210 Snyder Road, Lansdale. Just call ahead and they'll be waiting for you. Or send for yours by mailing your check for $15 per ticket, payable to WNPV Radio. Plus a self-addressed stamped envelope, send to Cooking School Tickets, care of WNPV Radio, Post Office Box 1440, Lansdale, PA 19446.
Good afternoon and welcome back to this month's transportation edition of Come and Please by Univest. We're talking today with a returning guest, Mike Mercadante from Driver Training Services over in North Wales. We've been talking about, since the weather's getting nicer, hopefully someday, driving and maybe teaching your teenage driver how to drive. And then later on in the program, we're going to talk about a little bit of reminders for the parents who are doing that. We kind of had some basic ideas of what to do, and now I'm asking Mike about any particular areas of attention parents should focus on or danger areas that they should be aware of and imparting up to that new driver.
So let's talk about the car first. Whatever car you decide to train a student in, that plays a large role in what you can and cannot teach them. The best option would be a small four-door sedan. Stay away from the SUVs unless that's all you've got. SUV has a high center of gravity, easier to roll over. So if your kid whips the wheel and takes that turn too fast, there's a chance that he could flip the vehicle onto its side. We want to try to really avoid that. You can't do that with a low sedan. The other thing is, usually cars have a handbrake or a parking brake in the middle. That gives the parents some control. You also have the shifter in the middle, so you can downshift the car to second or first gear if you need to control the student's speed into an intersection or something like that. So the parent has a lot of control there. Now, once you get into SUVs, then it's usually the parking brake is a foot pedal on the driver's side, and it tends to give you less options. So as a parent, you want to try to get as much control over the situation as possible. So if you've got the parking brake, the shifter, and you can reach over to the steering wheel, and you're not in danger of rolling that car, you've got a lot of control. You can really work with the situation well. At the beginning, focus on the basics. Keep the student at a relatively low speed, about 30 miles or less. Keep them on two-way or two-lane roads.
Okay, that was my question. Should we start in a parking lot? Should we just go on the road?
Parking lots first, just to give them a basic sense of how to make turns and how to accelerate gently and stuff like that. Use your imagination. Be creative. You know, I had a student out this morning who had a very heavy foot on the gas and brake. She loves cats. So I told her to imagine that there was a baby kitten underneath the petals. Mm-hmm. And if you stomp too hard, you're going to squish the baby kitten. Right like that. Her performance changed. She was nice and graceful with her petal control. Sometimes it just takes that kind of, you know, placing a visual image into their head to make them understand the difference and what they're doing. But by all means, keep them off of those four-lane roads. You know, a new student in their first 10, 20 hours of driving is not going to be doing head-shoulder checks on lane changes and things like that. They're just going to whip the car as soon as you say make a lane change. And they're not even going to think even about turn signals. So, you know, keep them in an environment where they don't have to worry about lane changes and build time there. Once they're more comfortable, they're more proficient, then you start moving to more advanced situations.
All right. Now, any other danger things that we should be watching for?
Well, I mean, this is Pennsylvania, and we're coming out of winter, so let's talk about pothole heaven. It's an easy way to destroy the front end of your car. Blow tires, ruin the suspension. You, as parent, have to be on top of that as you're driving, because those potholes are everywhere. And in some cases, they cover the entire lane, and you're not going to avoid them. You're an experienced driver. You know best. You know which roads are light on potholes and which roads are heavy on potholes. I like to start people on the 202 Parkway because mm-hmm. it's a brand new road and there's not a single pothole on it yet. So it's a nice, safe environment. It's also got broad shoulders so that if they swing a little bit, there's plenty of room for error. Then it runs all the way from North Wales, Montgomeryville, all the way out to Doylestown and back. That's a great hour run right there. County Line Road would not be such a great option. County Line Road is a disaster area. It looks like it came from Beirut and was just duct taped onto mm-hmm. the road. So keep an eye on that. But as a parent, you're going to have to reach over and guide that steering wheel because they're not going to have the skill yet to dodge every pothole out there, especially not the really bad ones.
And it's if you're using that smaller car, it's certainly going to be an issue. I have a smaller car and have to drive all the way onto a shoulder over on 113 because the potholes are – the situation is bad. And it's
sure.
not going to get any better until the weather finally changes and the crews can get out there. Mm-hmm. So it is what it is. And they've got to be careful if there's water in it. But the 202 Parkway idea is a fantastic one. And it's a place where you need to watch your speed and you can control your speed.
Because, and you need to watch for bicycles.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that's great. Now, one of the reasons we've had Mike on several times is because they have a wonderful program that works with students with autism. And actually, we know it's very successful because some of our students that we have taught in travel training have gone on to driver training services and have learned how to drive. So if someone has, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the program and what goes into teaching an autistic student how to drive. Tell us how the program works.
Okay. So usually what we do with an autistic student is start with an assessment or a consultation where we really just bring the student and their parents into the office. In our main office in North Wales, we have a simulator. It's a 3-screen virtual reality driving experience. And that'll let me see a couple of things. First of all, I'll see basic skills. Can the student, you know, follow instructions? Can the student follow my instructions? Because that's important. If we don't get along well, it's not really going to work. We have to build a good working relationship together.
And you stay calm, of course.
Oh, of course.
Yes, okay.
So, you know, I'll put them on the simulator and I'll give them a task like drive in this lane, stay in between the lines, and keep your speed at a constant rate. And I'll see how well they do. And I'll let them do it a couple of times and see if they improve. So what I'm looking for is the ability to follow instructions and the ability to improve. If I see scores that go down, then up, then down, then up, and there's no consistency of performance or there's no measurable improvement, that's going to be a tough kid to work with. You know, and we're going to have to really come up with a battle strategy that works well. In most cases, we see improvement and, you know, then we can say, okay, I'm confident this is going in the right direction, and we'll take steps accordingly. Depending on the student's level of skill, we'll go to simulator sessions where we'll meet once a week for an hour and do stuff on the simulator. I can do a lot on there that I can't do on the real roads. I don't mind if they go across traffic and hit another car in the simulator because all I have to do is hit reset, and there's no damage, and I don't have to call insurance mm-hmm. companies or parents or anything like that. I can have deer run out in front of them. I can have cars do unpredictable things. One of the things with autism in general is a lack of understanding or appreciation of social interaction. There's been a lot of studies recently, and it's interesting little things that some of us may take for granted. People with autism can't read facial expression on a human face. So as they look at the drivers around them, they can't tell if that driver is angry or if that driver is calm and at peace or if they're very happy. So missing those cues, they tend to miss an aggressive driver around them in traffic. And they tend to miss the person who's in a hurry because they can't read the body language properly. And that person that's in a hurry may be the one that cuts in front of them. So it's the subtleties like that. Right-of-way issues at intersections are often one of the biggest challenges. You know, even though there may be stop signs, there may not be stop signs, but who goes first and what if? There's all those little variables in there. You know, well, did we get to the intersection first? Did they? You know, sometimes if we're just turning and there's no stop sign and there's oncoming traffic, how far away are those cars and what is an appropriate distance for us to turn in front of? They have a lot of challenges with that kind of thing. So those are where we really target the training. One of the nice advantages is they tend to be very strict rule followers, and everything is black and white. So they understand the rules of the road very quickly. But then, of course, in real life, nothing's ever black and white. So taking that black and white and making shades of gray out of it is another one of our challenge areas. Like any other kid, everything has to be tailored to the individual. So, you know, I am talking about generalizations here, but every kid is unique. And every person is unique. And they're going to learn in different ways, and they have different strengths and weaknesses. So most of the job is just finding those strengths, building upon them, finding those weaknesses, diminishing them.
And having the assessment in advance kind of determines the successful outcome or more likelihood of success.
Yes. The better I understand the student and they understand what I'm about and the better we get along, the more successful the training is going to be. So we'll talk about not just driving, but at this assessment, we'll talk about what do you like to do? What are your hobbies? Do you play video games? Great. What kind of video games? Because that plays a large part of it. If they're into Call of Duty, which is one of these first-person war shooter games, I love hearing that because that game is all about situational awareness and hazard recognition because they're running around in this virtual world with a gun hoping they don't get shot and trying to find the people that might shoot them. Well, that's a great analogy for driving because as you're driving, you're constantly looking for who's going to mess up and come into your lane of travel or what deer is going to run in there or a dog or a little child. You're always looking for threats and trying to evade them. So I can take their hobby that they've been doing for years and map it onto what I need to train. And as long as there's some parallel there, it's easy.
Now, how do you know when someone's ready, when they are ready to take that test? I mean, and I'm sure it all depends, you know, on the individual, as we said. But how do you know, okay, now it's time?
We talked about being calm earlier. I'm not always calm, but on the outside, I'm always calm. But on the inside, sometimes I'm freezing up and I'm going, this person's going to hurt me. You know, we're near danger. We're near a crash. That happens, but I never express it to the student. You know, it's on the outside, it's very calm and relaxed because I want to reinforce that in the student. I know they're ready when I'm not freaking out on the inside anymore, when I feel comfortable driving with them and being a passenger, and I'm not thinking immediately about the controls and do I need to intercede on this intersection turn. You know, there's a car turning left in front of us. They already saw it. They already started stopping. Great. You know, those are the things I'm looking for. The signs that they're going to survive beyond my training and beyond me being in the car with them, then I know they're ready to go and take the test.
Okay, so if it's time to take the test, do they have to go to the PennDOT Center to take the test?
It depends on the student. We are charting into some new territory here. We have contracts with a few high schools in the area, Lansdale Catholic and Upper Bucks County Technical School. And we're currently kind of negotiating with a couple of other schools and trying to, you know, open the doors there. If you are a high school student at a high school that we have a contract with and you perform or you go through the 30-hour classroom program and a 6-hour behind-the-wheel package, we're allowed to test you there at your school. We have established PennDOT routes. We have an examiner on staff. And that program works because of the contract with that school. Other students who go to other schools, if they come in and sign up into that classroom program at that contract school and then fulfill all the other requirements, they too can get the test there. This is something new. You know, this is our first year doing it, and we're just kind of feeling out the water for it. It's called an end-of-course skills test. So unlike the PennDOT test, they don't have to parallel park, because the parallel park is the thing that they're most afraid of. So a lot of kids are real excited about this. And the parallel park really is just there to provide a safety net for the PennDOT examiners, because they're getting in a car every 15 minutes with a stranger, and they have no idea what kind of person this is or what kind of driver they is. So they say, well, before I go out on live traffic with you, let me put you over here in this little sequestered area all by yourself, and I want you to perform a simple maneuver. Take this car and put it in between these barrels, and you have three chances to do it. If you can't do it, I'm not going in live traffic with you. Well, our students have already done 5 or 6 hours or more with an instructor. We know what their capabilities are. We've already taught them how to parallel park. So we're not worried about actually seeing that on the test, because it's, you know, not generally that important a skill. We're really looking at intersection negotiation, speed management, lane tracking, all of the key things.
Now, statistics have been saying that the number of young drivers are going down. Are you seeing that in the high schools, people that are interested in getting their license? Are you seeing it kind of staying flat, going up, or is it going down?
Yeah. The millennial generation does not want to drive, is what all the news articles are saying and things like that. And to an extent, that is playing out a bit. Less so in the suburbs here, but more so in the cities. Here in the suburbs, we're still doing well because you need it. You know, Montgomery County has a great bus system and rail system. Bucks County has nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids in Bucks County need to drive if they want to go anywhere, and they can't afford to wait. But the kids in the Philly area and the kids in Montgomery County that have good public transit, yeah, they may be waiting. I've seen an upswing over the last couple of years in kids 18 to 25 who are taking driving lessons for the first time and going for their license for the first time. So these are kids that are out of high school, messed around with college a bit, maybe went all the way through college, never got their license. Now here they're coming back to us at that point. Fine. I'm happy so long as we get them. I don't care if they're 15 or if they're 25. As long as we get them through the program and I can make a difference and make them smarter drivers, I don't care when they come to us.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break, and you can join us by calling 215-855-8211 or 215-723-2116.
Hey y'all, it's Paula Dean here to bring y'all some exciting news. For a limited time, when you purchase Paula Dean Home Furniture, you're going to get a free set of my cookware. And that's not all. You can register in-store to be my special guest at a live appearance. So drop by y'all to your nearest Paula Dean Home retailer and see how you can bring comfort home.
Stop by Mastroianni Fine Furniture, 1113 Bethlehem Pike, Montgomeryville, next to the shops at English Village.
Do you ever get the feeling like there is never enough time in the day? I'm Jeff Schweitzer, President and CEO of Univest Corporation. I've got the perfect time saver. With a full line of financial solutions online 24/7, we're just a touch, tap, or click away any time of day. And at Univest, we have everything from banking and insurance to retirement and investment planning. For financial solutions that fit your busy lifestyle, free up your time and choose Univest.
Univest Banking, Insurance, and Investments. Financial solutions for life.
The one and only Clark Howard every weekday afternoon on AM 1440.
A lot of people have excess money withheld from each paycheck as a method of forced savings. Here's the problem. If a criminal files a tax return as if they're you, and you then go to file your return, your refund doesn't happen. Better idea is reduce the amount withheld from your check so that you're not expecting a big refund that won't come, won't come.
Be listening for the Clark Howard Show weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on AM 1440.
Now I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa. Welcome back to this month's transportation edition of Comment Please by Univest. If you'd like to join us today, our numbers are 855-821-1 or 215-723-2116. You know what? I was so excited about the Walking on Sunshine song that talked about sunshine. I just completely forgot about the phone number. Sorry about that. Well, now we're going to talk about something. I know you've heard this before and we talk about it, but it's still going on, and that's texting and driving. And I asked Mike to talk about how he addresses this with the students that he's teaching. And are they becoming more aware? I know there's so many programs out there. You know, AT&T has a program. I was recently at one that Montgomery County is doing with not texting and driving. But how do you address that issue in your classes?
Okay. So texting and driving is the big issue that we're dealing with right now. And it's because it's so new. You know, 2004 is really the beginning point of this. When people start getting phones that actually do more than just talk, you know, you do more than talk with it. And that's also when we start getting high-speed internet and wireless internet. So you start being able to do more things. Smartphones start coming around. That's 10 years ago. We haven't had time to adapt. We're using this technology, but we haven't had time to adapt to the consequences of using it. Now, when we talk about this in class, we talk about all the different types of distractions, eating, drinking, smoking, you know, playing with the radio, all this kind of stuff. What makes texting different from all those other things? Because we all do them at some point. Mm. And the thing is, there's three different types of distraction. There's cognitive distraction, motor distraction, and visual distraction. So I'm distracted by thoughts. I'm distracted, you know, my eyes are off the road or my hands are off the wheel. Texting is the only thing that you do in a car that does it on all three levels. It takes your mind off the driving task. It takes your eyes off the wheel or off the road, and it takes your hands off the wheel. That's dangerous. You know, eating a cheeseburger, I don't have to think about it. I don't even have to look at it. All I have to do is hold it and eat it. So it's a less distracting thing. Drivers who are texting, studies have shown, take their eyes off the road for 4.5 seconds out of every 6-second period. Now, that's big. Mm-hmm. When you're traveling 60, 70 feet per second, and you're not looking at the road for almost 5 seconds at a time, that's just a recipe for disaster. And I see people doing it all the time around me, and not just teenagers. I'm talking about adult drivers, too, CDL drivers, bus drivers, you know, regular people just going about their work routine or driving their kids to the mall or to daycare are sitting there texting away behind the wheel. It's a societal issue. It's not just, oh, the teens are doing it. We're all doing it.
Mm-hmm. So how do we get them to stop?
This is where we kind of fall down as a state and as a society, is we stop teaching people about driving once they turn 16 and get their license. We don't ever do anything with them again. Well, the technology is constantly changing. Our lifestyles are constantly changing. The roads are constantly changing. And the laws are constantly changing. So why aren't we constantly teaching our drivers? You know, there should be much more of an approach. I mean, we're attacking the teens with this messaging constantly. They're getting it. But what about the adults? What about all of those drivers out there who are out there now using the technology, developing these bad habits? But nobody's saying to them, we need to talk about this. You know, there's no educational outreach to adult licensed experienced drivers on here's the things. The other day it was raining yesterday. I couldn't tell you how many people I saw with no headlights, with their wipers going. Well, that's been state law for years. But if you got your license before that became the law, you may not know that that's the law, that you have to have your lights on when your wipers are running. We get a dozen new laws every year. Who's keeping up with that? You know, the kids are, but once they get their license, they stop keeping up with it. So I always recommend we have to go back to the DMV every 4 years to get our new license, get our new photo. I think everybody would do themselves a great service if, while they're there at the DMV, pick up a copy of the latest driver's manual. Take some free time over the next week or two and flip through it. See what you remember. See what you don't. See what's different. What's new. Just that simple act. Every 4 years will at least keep people more attenuated to the changes than they are now.
And it's something to look through the, that's a really good point. And to look through the whole book, not just, I remember when, you know, when I was taking, when I moved from New Jersey to Pennsylvania and you have to take the driver's test again, so much of it was just concentrated on, what laws you might be breaking and what the penalties were for those particular laws. But to take the time to just look through what are the different things that are happening, what are the new laws and new ideas that are out there to kind of keep that information available. Now, do you teach adults at your school?
Yeah. We teach everybody. I just finished with a 68-year-old woman. And not too long ago, taught an 83-year-old woman how to drive a manual transmission because she was afraid that if the zombie apocalypse ever happened, that she wanted to be able to get out of town on anything that she could find. I am happy to take any student who wants to learn anything about driving. And there's a bunch of us that work there. We all have different specialties. So whatever you want to learn, we've got somebody who can work with you. And that's one of the things that I love about this company is that diversity of employee and, you know, skill sets that, you know, no matter who comes in the door, I've got somebody you can talk to. This person would be great to work with you. So we welcome everybody. Come and see us.
Well, for an adult, in our last couple of minutes, tell me some of the things that we really should kind of refresh or we really should remember.
Okay. One of the biggest things that I teach the kids is never let your car get closer to the cars around you than one car length. So if they come to a stop at a traffic light or something like that, leave that imaginary car between you and the car in front of you. That way, if you get rear-ended, you don't get driven into the car in front of you and cause a chain reaction. If that car in front of you stalls or breaks down or changes its mind or something like that, you have room to maneuver your car around without having to reverse in a line of heavy traffic. That's one of the foundations. And if they get that, I'm happy because keeping that space cushion around their car can be vital to success. And yet every time I teach that at an intersection, I look across to the lane next to us and there's a bunch of adults who are keeping maybe 6 inches, 4 inches between their cars, and I can just see the chain reaction happening. That bad pileup crash that we had on the turnpike, that's 100 cars crashing into each other within a few seconds. And that comes down to two errors. Too fast for conditions, and not enough space between the cars. Keep in mind, one of the best things you can do is don't think in terms of miles per hour, because that's an abstraction nobody gets. Instead, think in terms of feet per second. And there's an easy way to do it. Just multiply your miles per hour by 1.5. So if I'm doing 40 miles an hour, I'm actually traveling 60 feet per second. And man, that puts you in the nail, because then you're thinking about driving in terms of, I'm covering 60 feet per second. Every 3 seconds that goes by, I'm covering 2/3 of a football field, you know? And it really starts, you think about the short distances and those little tiny areas that you can really improve. Like, okay, maybe I can leave a couple more feet between me and the car in front of me when I'm traveling at 60 miles an hour and really doing almost 100 feet per second.
Okay. Well, we've got one more. We're going to have maybe a couple more quick tips when we come back. We're going to take our last break. If you'd like to join us, 215-855-8211 or 215-723-2116.
Hi, I'm Secretary of Aging Brian Duke with a message for those Pennsylvanians with Medicare. Are you having trouble paying for prescriptions or your Part B premium? It's free to find out if you're eligible for extra help or for the Medicare savings programs. To find out if you qualify for help with your prescriptions and Part B premium, call 1-800-783-7067 or visit aging.state.pa.us.
Sponsored by the Pennsylvania Department of Aging, Tom Corbett, Governor.
It's never too late to earn your bachelor's degree, and you can do it by attending class just one night a week. For more than 35 years, the DeSales University Access Program has been offering busy adults the opportunity to earn their bachelor's degree quickly, conveniently, and at a special tuition rate. And now you can earn your degree right in your backyard at the DeSales University Lansdale campus. Customize your schedule with courses in a variety of majors. Attend class just one night a week for 8 weeks. Online classes are available too. Our next session begins in March, so call us today and we'll create a personalized plan just for you. Financial aid and tuition deferment may be available, and you can transfer previous college credits you've earned. The DeSales Lansdale campus is conveniently located at Sumneytown Pike and South Broad Street. Call to arrange a consultation with an advisor today at 215-361-3514. Or register online for our next information session at desales.edu/access.
Welcome back to the closing minutes of the transportation edition of Comment Please by Univest. We've gone over some things on teaching your children how to drive, and we've had some great tips on the adults. And I asked, and we were talking right before the break about the accident that had happened on the turnpike, that big car pileup. And I asked him to provide us with one more tip. We've got the car length, but what's the other tip, Mike?
So the other tip, the other part of that crash was too fast for conditions. Remember that the posted speed limit in any area is the maximum speed you're allowed to travel in perfect conditions. And that if anything compromises those perfect conditions, night, rain, fog, anything, you're supposed to adjust your speed below that. You can still get a ticket at 45 miles an hour if that's the posted speed limit, if it's foggy or snowing or raining, even though you're doing only 45. You have to adjust your speed low.
Okay, so Mike has a fascinating bio, so if you can have a chance to go on the website and read about him, it's definitely worth it. Mike, tell us about the website and how somebody can get a hold of you.
All right, so the website is drivertrainingservices.com. Our phone number is 215-699-0836. If anybody wants to reach out to me directly, you can catch me on Facebook at Mike the Driving Guy.
Okay, and he is, again, he's great. I'd definitely tell you to look him up. For the Partnership TMA, you know always you can find us at 215-699-2733. Visit us on www.ptma-mc.org. You can follow us on Facebook, and don't forget to sign up for our tweets. We have a lot of exciting things coming, and you'll have to go on our Facebook page to see where we'll be doing a video with our new mascot for Pedaling on the Parkway, which will take place again April 26th at 9 a.m. And we look forward to seeing you there, as we do look forward to seeing you next month at this time here on WNPV on the Transportation Edition. We'll see you next month.
Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or sponsors of WNPV Lansdale.
Join Daryl Berger weekday afternoons from 12:10 to 1 for Comment Please by Univest, local talk radio for Montgomery and Bucks counties.
You never know who will drop by, like John Oates, half of the super duo of Hall & Oates. He talked about their homegrown chemistry.
We came from the same kind of families. He went to Owen J. Roberts High School and went to North Penn. So we kind of grew up in the same era, at the same time, going to the same type of schools.
Comment Please by Univest, weekdays, 12:10 to 1 p.m., right here on AM 1440
WNPV. News, sports, and great talk radio. AM 1440 WNPV Lansdale.
WNPV 1440.com.
Powered by Sitecats Web Development.